Father, we want to thank you for these amazing testimonies. Thank you for all that you do for us, time in and time out. Father, we are eternally grateful. Be thou exalted, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. I'd like to welcome every one of us here this morning. Once again, we are back for more of God in this service this morning. And I believe that our lives and destinies will never remain the same in the name of Jesus Christ. Please lift up your hands as we pray briefly. Ask God, Father, give me a word in season this morning. Minister to me, O Lord. Cause me, O God, to be enthroned. This is my season of existing as a king and as a priest. Father, speak your word to me today. Father, in the name of Jesus. Malikoto Shakatakala. Father, I ask, O God, that you speak a word today to every one of us. Anoint these lips of clay and may your name be glorified. Blessed be your name, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'd like to welcome you again. Very quickly, this morning, I have the opportunity to be ministering on the topic titled Enthronement via Excellence. Enthronement via Excellence. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, let's read that together. We'll just read it loud and clear. Let's go. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. Praise God. Our objective this morning is to understand excellence and then see how it affected people that were in authority in scriptures. And of course, we want to look at the keys to existing in excellence. Praise God. We understand today that excellence is distinction. Excellence is distinction. Excellence is standing out. Excellence is quality. Excellence is superiority. All right, I'm just going to rush through those and then we'll move on. Excellence is a quality of being outstanding. When you do things excellently, you stand out. Your results are outstanding. And excellence makes the difference between peoples and between results in life. Secondly, by way of introduction, we understand that God is an excellent God. Excellence is the nature of God. If you look at Job chapter 37, Job 37 and verse 23, Job 37:23, it says, touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Look again at Psalm 8 and verse 1. Psalm 8 and verse 1 says, excellent, O Lord our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Psalm 8 and verse 9 says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And so you are going through scriptures, you are coming across the description of God as an excellent God. That place we read in Psalm 8 and verse 1, he says, how excellent are you, Lord, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Beloved, we exist in the world today because the world is ruled by an excellent God. His precision, his accuracy is the reason why the earth is held together. The movement of the earth around its orbit, the movement of the earth cyclically, helps us to predict day and night, helps us to predict month after month, helps us to attain and understand that we've entered a new year. It's out of precision. It's out of excellence. is out of accuracy. That is the kind of God we serve. That is who God is. The Bible tells us in Psalm 16 and verse 3, He delights in excellence. But to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all His delight. So, as He's an excellent God, God delights in us walking in excellence. He wants His children to walk in the same kind of excellence that He walks in. If you look at the human body, you look at the anatomy of the human body, you look at the physiology of the human body, you look at the biochemical processes that happen in the human body, you realize that God is a God of excellence. Every bone in the body, 206, every one of them has its function. On the feet, on the hands, on the joints, on the fingers. If the fingers did not have the number of bones on them, you cannot flex and, you know, do the things you do. God is a God of excellence. The Bible tells us that He's excellent in His workings. Isaiah 28 verse 29. Isaiah 28 and 29, it says, "This also cometh forth from the Lord, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working." Isaiah 12 verse 5. Isaiah 12 verse 5. That tells us, "Sing unto the Lord, for He has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth." So, beloved brothers and sisters, for us to rule and reign and be enthroned like God is the ruler and the governor general of the earth, we must also walk in excellence. Let's look at some examples of people that walked in excellence in the Bible. The first person is Joseph. We had analyzed Joseph very extensively yesterday. He reigned by excellence. By the time he was called into the presence of the Pharaoh to interpret his dream, he didn't just come empty-handed. He didn't just come like that. He came prepared. He shaved himself. He dressed properly. He presented himself as an excellent person. Can I tell you something? If he had come shabbily, unshaven, unwashed, unkept, and he gave the interpretation of the dream, and even if he gave the solution, the king would be looking at him and say, "Hey, okay, oh, he gave this interpretation and this solution, but I don't see him able to administer it." So excellence was one of his keys that moved him into the place of rulership. The second person we want to look at, number two, is David. David reigned by excellence. We can't go through all the things that David did in excellence. But if you look at 1 Chronicles chapter 23 and verse 6, 1 Chronicles 23 and verse 6, the Bible tells us, "And David divided them into courses among the sons of Levi, namely Gershon, Kohath, Merari, and so on and so forth." And it goes on. No, there's a long write-up of names there. You don't need to go any further. But what was that? He came to a point that minus all his exploits, God's servant preaches about him. He said he was a songwriter, he was a warrior, he was a king, he was a priest, he was, you know, he had so many attributes. But in addition to that, during his time, he instituted a worship, do I call it a worship team? And their assignment was to worship God round the clock. He sat in excellence and he divided them into their courses. He assigned them into groups. He calculated the time. You resume at this time. You worship God. You sing praises. You play the instruments from this time to this time. And the next course, the next group comes at this time and continues. He set up the tabernacle of David, which God still refers to, because in that tabernacle, worship was presented to God on a continuous basis. David, if you read about him and you study about him, all you see is excellence. Until, of course, some things went wrong down the line. Same thing with Solomon. What about King Ahasuerus? Look at Esther chapter 1 and verse 4. Esther chapter 1 verse 4, King Ahasuerus. He says, he had a feast, all right, that's preceding that. He had a feast. Esther, I said, not Exodus. Esther 1, 4. And he had a feast, and when he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty, many days, even 104 days. This was a man of excellence. He conquered the entire known world at that time, and he brought the princes in for a feast. He was a man of excellence. He had things to show them. He showed them buildings. He showed them arrangements. He showed them excellence. God was, this was a hidden king, but his excellence caused him to reign, caused him to be enthroned above many nations at the same time. Our fourth example is Daniel. Daniel was a man of excellence. Look at Daniel chapter 5 verse 12. Daniel chapter 5 verse 12. He says, for as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding and interpretation of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called and he will show the interpretation. Praise the Lord. Daniel was known for excellence. That was his description. That was what they used to identify him. What are they using to identify you? The ministry that you are supervising, overseeing, what is that ministry known for? What do you stand for? In that city, in the town where you are, in the country where you are, what is the characteristic or the description of who you are or what your ministry stands for? The same Daniel in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 3, the same Daniel in Daniel chapter 6 verse 3, it says, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. There were others that they were in the same class, but his own excellence caused him to be distinguished, and the king had this plan to make him the overall leader of all the leaders. There were presidents, there were rulers, there were kings, but Daniel's excellence was the qualification that was to establish him to be the ruler above rulers. Tonight, let me tell you something today. After this conference, you are going back to where you came from. A ruler of rulers in the name of Jesus. A pastor of pastors in your location in the name of Jesus. You will be distinguished. You will be set out by reason of your excellence. If you believe it, shout aloud, amen. Please take your seats. When you are a person of excellence, your rulership positioning is effortless and without contention. If you look at Luke chapter 1 verse 3, you see a leader that was characterized by excellence. That's Theophilus. He says, he seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. He was known for excellence. And so the Dr. Luke needed to present facts and figures to him as factually and as concisely and as accurately as possible. To be in rulership, you must be a person of excellence. What about Governor Felix? The Bible talks about in Acts chapter 23. Acts chapter 23 and verse 26. Acts 23, 26. Governor Felix, said Claudius Lysias, unto the most excellent Governor Felix, sending greetings. Inside the salutation, the excellence that he stood for was included. We have so many examples. We can't go through the people like Isaac. We can't go through people like Jacob. We can't go through all of them who carried out excellent practices that caused them to be distinguished. But let's look at our master Jesus. Jesus was known for excellence. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6. Hebrews 8:6. It says, but now has he obtained a more excellent ministry? By how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. His ministry was characterized by excellence. By the time he went to the grave, to the cross, and then to the grave, and he resurrected, and he went up, he attained a more excellent ministry. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 16. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 16. He says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we are eyewitnesses of his majesty. 17. Yes, move on to 17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So Jesus and his ministry was characterized by excellence. He represented the God of excellence and he walked in excellence. So let's just look very quickly at the keys. How do we arrive at walking in excellence? What do we need to do to operate in excellence? Number one is wisdom. Keys to excellence. Wisdom. Number one is wisdom. Look at Proverbs chapter 8, verse 5-6. It says, O ye simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. If you look at Proverbs 17 and verse 27, Proverbs 17, 27, it says, he that has knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. So for us to walk in excellence, we must be men and women that crave for the wisdom of God. Remember where scripture tells us, in all thy getting, get understanding. Go for wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Ensuring that you are going for wisdom. There the study of the word, in the place where you sit on the word and you hear the mind of God, you understand the mind of God, you contact the mind of God. Your wisdom is a characteristic of your excellence in life. Number two is truth. Truth, sincerity, the truth of the word, and the truth of life. Proverbs 8, 7 and 8. Proverbs 8, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. All right, Proverbs 17:7. Excellent speech becometh not a fool, much less do lying lips a prince. So, walking in excellence requires truth. Not just truth in speaking, but truth in recognizing and understanding. This thing is not good. You don't explain it away. A place, an environment is dirty. You don't explain it away. Admit the truth. This place is dirty. It gives you the starting point to now decipher how to get it in order. Many of us like to just, bamboozle our way and some level of macho-ness. No. That's not, this is how me I want, this is how we do it here. No. How is the right way to do it? Number three is righteousness. Righteousness. Proverbs 12, 26. Righteousness. Proverbs 12, 26. He says the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. So your righteousness is a key to your excellence in life and in destiny. Number four is diligence or hard work. Diligence. hard work. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 27. Proverbs 12, 27. It says, the slothful man roasted not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. Proverbs 22 and 29. Proverbs 22, 29 says, seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings, he shall not stand before mean men. Your level of diligence, your level of commitment to work, your level of commitment to doing things right is a characteristic of your excellence. And your excellence takes you above. Your excellence causes you to rise to the place of authority and rulership and leadership. Where you are, where you find yourself, should be where you are identified in that society as the best of the best, and you are celebrated appropriately. Number five is equity. Fairness. In Proverbs 22:22, it says, rob not the poor because he is poor, neither oppress the afflicted in the gate. Then jump to 28. Verse 28 of Proverbs 22:28 says, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. You can read it on. The kind of leadership that you oppress those that are under you is a non-leadership. You heard God's servant preach on Tuesday night, yeah? On Tuesday night, that there are people who are not leaders at all, just occupying position. It's like going to the bush and taking a gorilla and wearing him a suit and then sitting him in the bank manager's office. The fact that he's wearing a suit does not make him a leader of that bank. You cannot take, you arrive in a place, scatter the whole place, oppressing the poor, take people's lands, take people's houses, people die of stroke, people die of shock, and all manner of things. Is that leadership? The leader's heart should be the heart for the people. A heart for the less privileged. A heart for the society. How do I make the place better for people? How do I make life better for the citizens? That is the role of a man of excellence that attains rulership and attains enthronement. Number six is resist covetousness. A truly excellent person does not care about the things of this world. And when you are in that frame of mind, there's no restriction to your paying attention to details in executing what needs to be executed. Proverbs 23:1-2, and then verse 3 as well. Proverbs 23, it says, when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to your throat. You know what they call longer throat, right? Sorry, that's an African parlance, Nigerian language. Put a knife to your throat if you be a man given to appetite. What does verse 3 say? Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. If you want to walk in excellence and be enthroned by excellence, you must be a person that is not covetous. You see somebody driving a G-Wagon today, you don't know how he got it all. But now you want to kill yourself and put everybody under pressure so that you too will have a G-Wagon. That's not how it works. Sister, you see somebody with an iPhone, I think, which one is out now? 17. With an iPhone 17. Say, the light of this one is now different. It has it sliding like, it has it on this, I must get it. And then you are going all the way out for whatever you would do, whether with your body or with your spirit or your soul. Covetousness is one of the keys of destruction in our generation. We want more. We want more. We want another one. This one has this. You too, you want it. This one has that. You too, you want that. Oh, what are they doing in this person's church? Ah, that's the way we shall be doing it now. Let's go and look for where we are going to buy this one and buy that one. No! Covetousness is a pathway to destruction. That shall never be your portion in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Number 7, watch your words. Watch your words. Be a person of your words. Be known for your words. You say, I am coming, I am coming. Many years, a few years, years ago, God's servant, my mother-in-law, when he's going home, she said, if he tells his mom, even as a student, earlier years, he said, oh, mama, I'm coming home tomorrow afternoon. I said, we haven't seen him yet. I said, don't worry. If he said he's coming, he will come. People are asking, you said your son is coming today. We haven't seen him yet. He said, if he said he's coming, he will definitely come. Can somebody say that of you? Are you double-tongued? You say A today. Tomorrow you say B. Say, oh, but this is what you said yesterday. I said, you know, higher revelations now, you know. No! Be a person of your words. Be a person of your words. Ecclesiastes 5, 2 and 3. Ecclesiastes 5, 2 and 3. I think we'll read up to verse 5. It says, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven and thou art upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he has not pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. It is better you didn't say it than you said it and you didn't do it. Essentially, that's what it's saying. It's better you didn't say it than you said it and you didn't do it. Don't make throwing promises all over the town and you are not fulfilling any of them. You took an offering in the church to do a certain project. You diverted the money for something else. That you didn't keep your words. Let the people know you as a person of your words. Number 8. Delight yourself in the Lord. Psalm 37 and verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. You desire to be a person of excellence? Delight in the Lord. Let him be your heart's desire. Testing after him. Going for him. Number 9, so that we'll make up our time. Study to show yourself approved. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. Study. Study the word. Study to show yourself approved. It says, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So the word of truth is a key to excellence. Excellence is a key to enthronement. So, your study of the word, your being abreast with what the word of God has to say concerning every relevant issue of your life is a key to enthronement. Number 10, commit your ways to the Lord. Commit your ways to the Lord in prayer. Psalm 37 verse 5. Psalm 37 verse 5. It says, commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Alright? So, you desire a certain level of excellence in life and destiny. Commit it to the Lord, and he will bring it to pass. He will open up channels for you. Doors. He will show you way. Oh, do it like this. Do it like this. Do it like that. And then God gives you direction. Number 11, wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Psalm 37 verse 9. Wait upon the Lord. Psalm 37 verse 9. What does it say? For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, what shall happen? They shall inherit the earth. Enthronement is being in charge on the earth. Being in charge, you inherit rulership and authority by waiting on the Lord. Waiting on. I remember. If yesterday I was discussing with God's servant and said, I didn't say all that. I think those who are discussing. How many of you know how women, they are discussing with themselves inside their mind? Then they start talking to you and they continue the conversation from the last thing they were thinking in their mind.
And they assume that you are aware of what they were thinking.
What they were thinking. And they are wondering why you don't understand what they are saying. Well, anyway, so I was thinking of some conventions that would take the whole convention dry. We are drinking only water. A whole convention. A whole convention. Very extreme things we have done. We can't talk about it. There are things we cannot talk about. Number of days of waiting on the Lord. We can't talk about many of those things. But those are some sacrifices. Some sacrifices that you make towards God. In your search for excellence. And to walk in the ways of the Lord. Number 12 is meekness. Meekness. Get rid of pride. Psalm 37 verse 11. Let's look at that. Psalm 37 verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So our meekness is a determinant of our ability to step into the realms of excellence and walk in excellence. So what does that mean? That means that even if your child that you gave birth to, your little baby of some years ago, is telling you, no, do it like this. This is how they do it. This is how it should be done. You are meek enough to listen and you are meek enough to hearken to this. I don't know if anybody is together with me. Meekness helps you to be able to attain to excellence. And it causes you to be enthroned in life and destiny. Number 13. Decide to be a light. Decide to be a light to your world. Matthew 5:16. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 31. 1 Corinthians 12:31. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Praise the Lord. So the light of the word. Decide to be a light to the world. Consciously being a light. You know, I remember some years back, we were still in Area 1 church then. Just to tell you some things about the level of excellence, for example, God's servant exhibits. A book had been printed, it had gone to press. I don't know how many thousand copies were printed. And the book came out, and there were typographical errors or some errors that was in it. And everybody was like telling him, sir, we have already printed, let the book fly. He said, never. Somebody said, okay, can we give it to students in the university, just give them as gifts? He said, no, anything that is not good enough to go out must not go out. The whole of that pile of books was trashed. You can't present to the world anything short of excellence. God's servant was teaching yesterday and talking about when, by divine direction, God asked him to post me to one of our branch locations in Maraba, where we went. And we got in there and it was a shank. It was just not okay. The ground was not okay. And we decided to embark on getting it done well. And we looked for an excellent engineer. If you see his concrete mix, eventually, we started calling him our own Julius Berger. You know, Julius Berger company that does constructions. We started calling him that. and we are putting light. Say, ensure that the line for the light is a straight gradient. Straight gradient. Nothing crooked. There are sometimes you look at a crooked picture on the wall and it just turns your eye. You should come to a point that anything short of excellence is not acceptable to you. And number 14, identify your gifts and polish them. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 12. Let's read that. 1 Timothy 4 12. What does it say? Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Move on. Go on, 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading and exhortation and to doctrine. And it continues like that. So, verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Beloved, every one of us have giftings and potentials in us. And it's our responsibility to polish those things that God has deposited in us, bring them to the place of excellence. And when that happens, you are enthroned in rulership. Somebody stand up on your feet this morning with a shout of praise. Lift up your hands and your voice and say, Father, thank you for the privilege of being called by you. Oh Lord, I ask that you grant me the grace to walk in excellence for enthronement. Grant me the grace to walk in excellence for enthronement. Lift up your voice and talk to God this morning. Grant me the grace to walk in excellence for enthronement. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name, Lord.